CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Oil today in New York's been more than $106 a barrel. Sign of the troubled times, the experts have been saying expect record high gasoline prices in a matter of weeks.
The White House sees no quick response to rising fuel costs, but Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the energy industry should play a role.
Our hope is that oil companies will work with us and work with the country to ensure that the recovery that we're now seeing is not jeopardized by energy costs that get out of control.
Officials point to long-term fixes, including increased domestic oil and natural gas production and exploration. An immediate option, tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to increase supplies, remains on the table. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Greece has gotten its $170 billion bailout. No rejoicing, however, on Wall Street, which has gotten little push out of it. The Dow did bounce briefly over the 13,000 benchmark, but that lasted mere moments. Jill Schlesinger at CBSMoneyWatch.com explains.
What Greece is trying to do is to reduce the amount of debt it owes to 120% of its total economy. Well, that's still a really big number. In many ways, people think this is a temporary measure, that Greece will come back to the well for more money, and that eventually Greece may have no better option than to leave the Eurozone.
One-third of Greek citizens are living under the poverty line, and jobs are just not there. The Dow down about 11 points. The Nasdaq is off 15. A white student in Texas denied entrance to the University of Texas says it just wasn't fair.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington. Edward Bloom of the Project for Fair Representation hopes the Supreme Court is setting the stage for ending affirmative action college admissions policies.
It would be far clearer for race to be just simply not a factor in public policy decisions.
But it still has to be to achieve diversity, argues Dennis Parker of the ACLU.
Clearly, we've come a long way. We have a black president, but we still have a way to go.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Supreme Court will let Phil Spector stay where he is. He's in prison for murder. The High Court declined to hear his appeal. The White House is apologizing for the burning of copies of the Quran among a pile of garbage at the U.S. military base in Afghanistan. That fire prompted some angry protests. One of the most famous and evocative works of art will be on sale in New York in early May at Sotheby's.
It has the dubious distinction of being the most stolen work of art in history.
That's Edvard Munch's The Scream. He did four of them. This one is the most colorful and the only one in which the people in the background are looking at the cityscape.
Major Munch exhibitions tend not to include The Scream because they can't be taken out of Oslo. So it's really an extraordinary moment that this work should be available today. Few people have seen it in person.
That's Simon Shaw at Sotheby's. He says this painting, the only one in private hands, is expected to sell for $80 million or more. This is CBS News.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... what are you?
I'm a senior master technician.
You've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years, thankfully.
Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change. It is an oil change, right?
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
Please proceed.
Well, it includes a brake inspection, belt and hoses check, checking your cabin filter, your air filter, tire rotation, battery test, top off all the fluids, and a multi-point inspection with a detailed report card.
All right, it certainly seems comprehensive, this works thing. What doesn't it include?
Well, that list is probably very short.
Glove compartment. You check that?
We try to stay out of your glove box.
What about my antenna?
Come see the experts at your local Ford dealer for a great value on routine service. The Works Fuel Saver package covers everything you need for just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate. Stop by today.
If we were to sum up, you'd say the Works Fuel Saver package includes pretty much everything for one low price.
It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
Before Lent, tradition says stock up on the carbs and fat.
People are just waiting to try them.
Those fry pastries stuffed with a fruit filling, custard, or chocolate, the last big indulgence before Lent.
They're a lot, like, sweeter than donut, and they're really good when they're warm.
In the enclave of Hamtramck, it's a Polish Mardi Gras with bakeries working around the clock.
Preparations actually started 2 months ago.
A typical punschki has 500 calories. Not that anyone's counting today.
You only get them once a year. So it's okay.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
There's a race on Shrove Tuesday today, also known as Pancake Day every year. Women in Olney, England, dash down a course dressed in aprons and headscarves with a pancake in a pan. They must flip it to start and flip it to end the race. 6 hours later, in Liberal, Kansas, American competitors do the same thing. This year, a woman in England won the race, 18-year-old Devon Burns, 58 and a half seconds. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Choosing the correct engine oil for your Buick is critical to the life of its engine. Pay attention to both the proper oil specification as well as the viscosity grade.
Wow.
I said, pay attention to both the proper oil...
You look great.
You too.
Proper...
Maybe we should celebrate our anniversary every night.
Hello?
We'll take care of your Buick. You just enjoy the ride. No one knows how to keep your Buick at its best like the Buick Certified Service Experts. Get an oil change, 4-tire rotation, and 27-point inspection for $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate debit card. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Offer ends March 31st, 2012. Excludes full synthetic oil. More than 6 quarts of oil extra. Visit BuickCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer.
Shrove Tuesday, Fat Tuesday, I've got some Zydeco today. We got the Zydeco music playing, baby.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
All right. Stick with me because this is going to be a good ride today. I mean that. And also, you know what else I have? We have a welcome home alert. We got an Afghanistan soldier coming home. And I'm going to tell you about that. And then also we have Calhoun's Cannons, which, and especially if you're a woman, I think you should read this. Maybe not. Maybe if you're a man, you should hear what she had to say, because I think it's really, I think it should ring true with you. Yeah. Man. All right. So today's Fat Tuesday, and in honor of the event, I've been bulking up all year.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonne. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
So get that done.
Hi, you're Bill, talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, your news station. And we're going to have news here in just a minute, too. But right now we're going to do our birthdays and our who's and what's it's, according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history, on February 12th in 1912, a new phrase entered the American political lexicon as former President Theodore Roosevelt, traveling by train to the Ohio Convention, Constitutional Convention, told a reporter in Cleveland, "My hat is in the ring," saying his intent to challenge William Howard Taft for the Republican nomination. So that's hats in the ring there. In 1972, President Richard M. Nixon began his historic visit to China. He and his wife, Pat, arrived in Beijing. That was it. That's all happened today. Because it was Fat Tuesday. Everybody was doing other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Our birthday today, actor Gary Lockwood is 75. Trisha Nixon Cox is 66. Trisha Nixon Cox is 66. Oh, cow. I kind of lost track. Actress Jennifer Love Hewitt is 33, and actress Ellen Page is all of 25. Happy birthday to them, to you, too. It's your happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Right here, we're all tied up with CalCoastNews.com on KYNS. And if you go to Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, if you go to CalCoastNews.com, you go to Talk is Cheap, you click on that, you can hear this program live or anything that we do during the day or night on KYNS. It's all electronic magic. All right, now, Karen Veeley's dug up another one. A little something on the side. This is an opinion. This is an investigative piece. Ask Bob Nicholson, and he can point out household and business and waters. Let's try. Can I start over today? Because today, so far, my teeth have been in backwards and it hasn't worked right. Let's try again. Ask Bob Nicholson, and he can point out how households and businesses are wasting water and money. He tells people how to save. Whether Nicholson's advice is going to cost you anything depends on which hat he's wearing that day. Nicholson makes up to $66,000 a year giving advice to people on their water and sewer rates as a San Luis Obispo Utilities conservation technician, but Nicholson also offers to sell the same service to people through an unlicensed private consulting business. He says there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. However, SLO's municipal code says employees must avoid conflicts of private interest with public duties and responsibilities that shall not do indirectly what may not be done directly. It would take somebody in politics to write that. All right, so here is the thing right here. So apparently he wrote a thing. There was going to be a thing at Farm Supply about saving water, and so he went to the realtor people and said, here, pass this along. I'm going to be there and all that kind of stuff, and you can sign up. And so he's not licensed. He's not certified, fortified, publicized, or anything like that. And so here, my screen, I'm going to skip down. This is Dave Wesolowski, who owns Sprinkler King, has been in the water consulting business for more than 25 years and says having access to city water usage information provides Nicholson an unfair advantage. As a private water contractor, Wesolowski pays for contractor and city business license, insurance, and marketing, while Nicholson markets his business through the city and is not licensed. That is totally inappropriate and a total conflict, Wesolowski said. The guy walks up to the door with no overhead. Using the fact that he works for the city, he comes to the table with all these security, such as health insurance, that small businessmen have to pay for. In addition to questions of fairness, state and local laws prohibit employees from using government resources for private gain. The city municipal code also requires employees get permission from the city administrator before engaging in outside employment. The city has approved his private consulting business, Nicholson said. The city manager gave me permission to do it. It's outside of my local jurisdiction, Nicholson said. So there's another one of those. There's another thing going on. The Central Coast turned out to be quite exciting, isn't it? Okay, then we have in Oceano, we have things going on. Oceano Community Services District Board members and administrative staff have been handed two threats of litigation because of alleged violations of open meeting laws that protect public access to information participation. Several critics have filed or voiced complaints about Oceano's apparent ongoing disregard for the Ralph M. Brown Act, and now the state's leading authority on open meeting laws has warned district officials they need to follow the law or face litigation. Charges claim, among other things, that the board requires the public to comment on board items that have not been explained in the agenda and before the staff report, leaving the public is at a disadvantage. We are confident that a court would find that the rule forcing citizens to address the board on an agenda item before it is given its explanatory introductions by the staff member or other persons is not reasonable within the meaning of the Brown Act. Please inform the board that unless the practice has been in favor of permitting comment and introduction of agenda items, I will recommend to our litigation committee that we file an action for declaratory and injunctive relief to compel such a change, plus an award costs and attorney fees. That's according to Terry Frankie, the director of Calaware, and arguably the foremost authority on the Brown Act. So this goes on for a long way. Anyway, so you can go to calcoastnews.com and read the rest of it, and you can find what's going on. We went from never, ever hearing about a community service district. We didn't know what a community service district was, really. Most of us were just walking around. We heard of it, but we didn't know what it was. You know, we didn't pay attention to it. They just quietly went about the business of doing what they're supposed to do. But in recent times, we hear about them every day. And that's the news for now from CalCoastNews.com and KYNS.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
That's our news update today. All right. Other things are going on. So they had the pictures of the coppers, you know. Remember back when we had a really bad Mardi Gras weekend, things went really bad. And so the riots and mayhem and all that kind of stuff. And so the police are saying, don't do it. I think the policeman who they showed, this is where, you know you're getting kind of ancient, like what's her name, the Nixon's daughter. They had the officer that spoke on KSBY this morning. I believe I knew his father when he was a police officer. I'm almost sure. So, and now he's all grown up and he's a copper. Okay, well, that happens, I guess. Help. All right. What else is going on? You know, there's a thing that's not generally in the news today, but I came across it of all places. I was looking at the 10-day forecast for San Luis Obispo, and because I figured it'd change. It's changing a lot this week, so, you know, whatever they're saying, you can't really depend on. But here's the deal. So then they had a video thing about the Danube River. And all this ice is breaking up on the Danube, but in the process of breaking up, it's also breaking up all the boats. And so hundreds of boats have been destroyed and floating restaurants and whatnot. And I have to be honest with you. I looked at that, and here's the people poking at the ice and trying to save things and all that. And I think to myself, why? There's no good reason that I can imagine why people would live in a place that has ice and snow. I've done it. I've been there. But I can't see doing it again. Yeah, it's a pain in the neck just to get to work. That's no good. Other things going on. This was on our espresso page today. This is Stephen Colbert's back, and it had to do with his mom being ill, who's 91 years old. Anyway, she said, "Evan and I have 11 children, makes you as tough as nails." Colbert is the youngest of 11 children. His father, James, and two of his brothers were killed in an airplane crash in 1974. Chris Brown and Rihanna are back together doing music. I don't know if they're doing anything else, but probably not. But anyway, so there's that happening. And then there's a lot of people that weren't that happy. People feel that Chris Brown should just be banned from the world for beating on Rihanna. You can kind of tell. An auction so soon? Whitney Houston's hardly cold. And a pair of earrings she wore in The Bodyguard will be sold the highest bidder next month. Celebrity auctioneer Darren Julian said Sunday the piece and other Houston items became available after the singer's unexpected death February 11th and be included among a long-planned sale of Hollywood memorabilia. So why do I smell Bobby Brown in this? Why do I have a feeling that Bobby Brown said, oh, here, I got some stuff you want to auction off? I don't know why I'm feeling that. It's just a thing I got. And here, the survivor of the 1906 San Francisco quake died at the age of 109. She was at the, where was she, right here? She was in the Bernal Heights District, and so she and her family climbed up on a hill and watched the fires and the city go away. And then they weren't allowed back in their own home. They had to live in a tent in the backyard. Of 13 children, Rose Cliver wasn't expected to live long after a premature birth, but she enjoyed great health throughout her life. Her family said she lived independently in her Ingleside home until the stroke in the fall in 2008 forced her to move in with her son. She had a little dementia and was confined to a wheelchair the last year, said somebody, my grandson. Yeah, a little dementia doesn't. I have that too. So a little bit's okay. All right, now here's the other thing. The Academy, it's like, you know, get the panties getting a bunch, and it's not over nothing. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences demanding that Poland's Association of Folk Artists stop giving out what it calls the People's Oscar. Wolodymyr Motion-Lifflin-Flacken of the Association of Folk Artists said Monday that the dispute is a misunderstanding. Marsher said the People's Oscar was named after Oscar Kolberg, the 19th century Polish ethnographer who wrote some 10,000 Polish folk songs. Well, I would certainly think that they can call that whatever they want, you know. 10,000? Has Hollywood made 10,000 movies? Probably. But still, that's a lot of, I don't know how you can sit down and call 10,000 Polish songs. Some other country, maybe. Poland's not that big. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about. All right, what else is going on? Well, let's see. I'm going to go over here and do this sportsy stuff because this is there's a couple things going on. A's are bringing Manny Ramirez back. He has to sit out. How many games? 50 game suspension because he tested positive for drugs twice. But if he can manage to last 50 games, which is, you know, close to what, 60 days, he'll never make it. Anyway, that was kind of fun. Lakers did good. Griffin 3 ready to tackle his debut as doubters at draft combined. Robert Griffin III, the former Baylor quarterback, spent his college career determined to silence recruiters who suggested he would be better serving trying to catch passes either as a receiver or defensive back than throwing them as an NCAA competitor. Griffin's collection of 54 Baylor school records suggests otherwise. Would you say? I would say that's true. Okay, right there. And then here's, you know, it's wonderful that Jeremy Lin is really a great basketball player, and he's, you know, here's a guy comes off the bench and he really plays well and everything, and so they get the string of wins, and then of course inevitably it's nothing lasts, you know, I mean you take the best teams there are with the best players there are and they lose, and so you know then as all of a sudden now it's like the Knicks stumble against the Nets, it's how long did you expect that was going to last? The guy's still a great basketball player. I don't know why this was in the news. Now, this you're going to say, Bill, you know, your brain, apparently, when you're home alone, you know, follows some pretty strange paths. And so here, I don't know, I think it has to do with the big collider over there in Europe, you know, the atomic particle collider. I think this is where all this news came up not too long ago, because it was something, I'll be honest with you, you're saying, Bill, how many physics classes did you have? Maybe one. And I'm sure I didn't do that. Anyway, but here's this thing called the Higgs boson. And the cartoon is Dilbert. It says, gasp, I found the Higgs boson. Somebody says, build an ark. And the other guy says, nothing but trouble. All right, so the Higgs boson. And so it has to do with subatomic particles and, particle theory. And this is a supposed thing that they may or may not have found when they did this last collision that they did here a few months ago at the big collider. And so I don't know why it got that name for heavens knows people, I suppose. But anyway, it's the theory that is about what particles can do under certain circumstances. Anyway. But it's a strange name, and I thought when I saw this in the comics, I thought, you know, if you hadn't been hearing about what's going on with the collider, you'd have no clue what a Higgs boson is, because it doesn't sound like something to do with physics, does it? No. So even the comics are confusing me today. It's not easy being me, I'll tell you that. All right, other things in the thing. You know what's interesting? Lon Allen wrote a thing about bicyclists, because here was a bicyclist that went flying through an intersection on a red light, then jumped on the sidewalk and was riding down the sidewalk on the wrong way on the street. So the guy's doing everything entirely wrong, this one particular case. So he's talking about bicyclists got to be careful and watch out what they're doing, all that. Then he recalls, and I was with him on this journey back through the memory lane, of our own bicycle use. And when we were kids, you know, that's how we got around. Was on our bicycles, and we rode miles on bicycles. I mean, there was no end to how much bicycle riding we did. But here's what I have to say, to tell you the truth. And we look back and we think, well, I don't know how safe we were when we rode bicycles as kids. If I wasn't safe doing anything else when I was a kid, why would I have been safe riding a bicycle? I can't see that I would be gallant doing that, you know what I mean, when I was a clod doing everything else. So I don't know. And Lon, I don't know. I don't say about Lon, but, you know, maybe Lon always obeyed all the rules riding a bicycle. I just can't imagine. I remember riding my bicycle all the time, and I don't remember whether we obeyed the rules all the time or we deliberately said, here, to hell with you. But I don't know. The other thing is, somebody wrote a letter the other, and it's so amazing. It's people's lack of understanding about bicycle riding. And so it's just too bad because it creates this animosity that's totally unnecessary. Let me explain. If a bicyclist, you're at an intersection and you've got a red light, the bicyclist is allowed to actually, and is advised in a way, it's advisable to the bicyclist and is legal, for the bicyclist to get right in front of the first car in line and then head right to the bike lane, go in a straight line to the bike lane, and go, you know, left or wherever he's going. I'm talking about if you're making a turn. Because if you're on the right-hand side of the car and the car may not see you, the guy in the car, and so he may move over to the right, you know, when you're not ready for it, and so if you're in front of him, you're okay. It's illegal to do that. It's called taking control of a lane. If you're on Higuera Street, downtown San Luis Obispo, and a bicycle is riding right in the lane in front of you, if he's going the same speed limit as the speed limit, if he's going 25 miles an hour down Higuera Street, he's allowed to be in front of you, or she, or it. So sometimes you have to recognize that the rules for bicycles, when you say, well, the rules for bicycles are the same as cars, yes, they are. Yes, and many times they are in a way that people go, I didn't know they could do that. So that's something to know. You know. I'm still trying to remember when I was a kid, but I'm sure we had the handlebars turned upside down, everything, you know, and the whole thing. Our thing was, luckily, back when Schwinn made bicycles that really lasted, you know, that they did. I don't know why we got into this in Jersey, but we would dismount the bicycle and jump off before, you know, the bike stopped. And it was like a thing to see whose bicycle would roll the farthest before it crashed. But then you'd pick it up and you'd straighten the handlebars out. You know, you'd straddle the tire, the front tire, you'd straighten the handlebars out again. And everything was fine. The bike ran, you know, forever. I can't imagine we were very good bicycle riders. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So, I realize one person goes through a red light and does something bonehead, you know. It's like when you're on a sidewalk and somebody's riding down the sidewalk on a bicycle and you just get torqued off because they're not supposed to be there. You know, I understand. All right, other things going on. I'm going to do this next. I'm going to do this now because first let me do this alert. We have a welcome home mission, and this is for our heroes. And this is airport arrives tonight, 4:45, 5 p.m. Flight arrives at 5:28, so be there right around 5, a little before, because sometimes the flight arrives early. And this is a guy in the Army. We don't get all the information until later, and I don't normally get it because I'm on the air, so I can't get it for you. So I don't know his name or anything. But anyway, he's from Paso Robles. He's coming back from serving his tour in Afghanistan, and so we want to give him a big welcome at Slow Airport. So this is at Slow Airport this afternoon, right around before 5 o'clock, and he'll get here at 5:30. And please, they have flags and stuff where you can bring your own, and have a great turnout for somebody coming back from Afghanistan. Heavens knows they deserve it. All right. Now, next up, I'm going to read Ann Calhoun's Calhoun Canon that she does on her blog and elsewhere, and sends me a copy too, because I think it's really I think what she has to say is important. Take 2 aspirin and don't call me in the morning. It was a stunning moment. Congressman Daryl Issa, the Grand Inquisitor of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, thought he'd found the perfect ginned-up issue, the deliciously rhetorical preordained investigative hearing titled Lines Cross, Separation of Church and State. Has the Obama administration trampled on freedom of religion and freedom of conscience? It was to be Issa's perfect political point photo op moment. The Grand Inquisitor's dais filled with a long line of somberly suited and or Roman collared men opining on female birth control. When up popped Democrat Carolyn Malone, who asked, "What I want to know is, where are the women? I look at this panel, I don't see one single individual representing the tens of millions of women across the country who want and need insurance coverage for basic preventive health care services, including family planning. Where are the women?" And suddenly, ISIS best laid plans to make political hay by pretending that he was discussing weighty matters all went kerflooey as his Grand Inquisitor table of men went viral and women across the country rolled their eyes. Isn't that just like a man, they said, discussing my private parts in public while I'm not even allowed to be in the room? And before you knew it, here came Rick Santorum's moneybag PAC donor, the interestingly named Foster Freeze, a goofy smile constantly plastered on his face, who stunned the interviewing Andrea Mitchell into silence when he noted that he found this birth control issue all nonsense, saith Freeze. Back in my day, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly. And that clip went viral, even more women rolled their eyes. Aspirin knees? You got to be kidding. When clips appeared of Santorum stumbling through a muddled explanation of his interpretation of conservative Catholic doctrine that birth control is bad because it allows people to engage in, well, behavior that they shouldn't be engaged in, or at least engaged in behavior with no consequences, since sex should have the consequences like punishment and suffering and hellfire and damnation, no, never mind. And more eyes rolled as it was pointed out that the Pew polls show that over 90% of Catholic women practice some form of birth control, including using the pill. And anyway, who's listening to a morally bankrupt Catholic hierarchy that repeatedly chose their assets over protecting their children? Boo, boo, she says. Before the furor could die down, the newly passed Virginia ultrasound law came up on this radar. If signed into law, women wanting or needing an abortion would be forced to have a sonogram, which would require a medically unnecessary invasive vaginal procedure that involves a dildo-like wand being inserted into her body. This form from conservative Republican what's with these Republicans that are obsessed with the need to poke into women's vaginas? And suddenly the long game began taking shape out of what first looked like an incoherent muddle of oxymoronic politics and comic photo op pratfalls, reassertion of the white male prerogative, the sweet return to state-enforced religious dogma, and ultimately totally conservative control over all branches of government. Patriarchy Redo, Daryl Issa of the Auto de Fe Holy House Oversight Committee, the severe conservatives' theoretic swirling wet dream of privilege, power, dildo wand, knees, aspirins, and uppity women, finally silenced and hobbled and sent back to the church where we belong, right?
Hey, all you Java lovers out there in Radio Land, it's a new year, and that means resolutions are made, and resolutions will be broken. I can tell you about a resolution that was made decades ago that's never been broken, and that's the folks at Slow Roasted Coffee. They made a vow to always keep their standards high, no matter what. That means you'll taste the difference for yourself when you drink Slow Roasted Coffee. That's because your friends at Slow Roasted Coffee continue to provide their loyal customers with the freshest, highest quality coffee priced right in order to earn your continued loyalty. In case you don't already know it, you can enjoy this fine Java at work. Just call Slow Roasted Coffee and let them know you'd like your workplace set up with hot brew pots and slow roasted coffee, which will, of course, perk up the staff. All puns intended. Slow Roasted Coffee, your neighbors and friends.
Subaru drivers are curious folks, so naturally the people who come into Rancho Grande Subaru in San Luis Obispo tend to ask a lot of questions. One we get a lot about is the Subaru Impreza, particularly after we tell them that the Impreza has symmetrically all-wheel drive while getting 36 miles per gallon. The question people ask most is, can you repeat that? And we say that the Subaru Impreza has symmetrical all-wheel drive and gets 36 miles to the gallon. Then they ask us to repeat again because they thought they heard us say the Subaru Impreza has all-wheel drive while getting 36 miles per gallon. And we tell them, yes, you heard right. To which they understandably say, wow. If you have a question about a Subaru, come to Rancho Grande Subaru in Slowtown. We'll be happy to give answers. Right now, lease a 2012 Impreza 2.0i for 39 months for $250 a month with $2,500 due at signing. Call 1-800-SUBARU-3 for lease details or come by Rancho Grande Subaru, 1404 Auto Parkway, San Luis Obispo.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I
Buckwheat Zydeco.
That's what it's called. And walking around that. I just want to get the place down, and then everything else that we hear today, the other three songs, will be more Zydeco-y, Zydeco, you know, Mardi Gras. Okay. Get your beads out, whatever that's all about. I pretend I don't know. All right, other things are going on in our world. Well, this is, this is not news to anybody. Who's a baby boomer these days, especially on the Central Coast. I think the Central Coast is certainly the epitome of such thing. You know, you're trying to make a living, and you struggle. And so, if you're a baby boomer, and so what they're saying is that for baby boomers, this new era of work till you drop. And so they have this thing about, you know, how hard it is, and how people just can't retire anymore. They, you know, they got to try to cling to the jobs they have, because if you get out of this workforce for a moment, you're not getting back in it. And especially if you're older. I know there's no such thing as age discrimination, right? And so, you know, a lot of younger employers and bosses and stuff, you know, they look at old people, well, like me, and say, you are technically inept. Well, that's true. I am, but no, other people aren't, you know. So, but they still get the same prejudice that they showed to me, towards me. They say, well, if Benica can't do that, then you can't either. And that's not fair. That's not fair at all. So anyhow, it's an interesting thing. You know, people are working at least till they're 70. It's a scary world out there. There's no question about it. As you can tell by what it cost you to get gas yesterday. And say, well, let's see. Am I going to get this much gas? What am I going to do? All right. Here's the thing. Santorum uses faith to chide his rivals. I thought we were supposed to have a separation of church and state. What is that? So if Obama says that you should have birth control, that's not, and then all of a sudden that's wrong. But if you bring religion into a presidential campaign, that's okay. I don't quite get it. It seems to me to be inconsistent. But you know, I could be wrong. I don't know. Now, here's, this is, I think I'm big on this idea right here. This is down in Avila, and there's a little old Avila school building, you know. And so the developers want to build some houses there. And they said, well, okay, you chemists, you have to leave the Avila school and build around it. And we have adobes and whatnot, you know, people have built around, and it works out fine. And that's cool. Matter of fact, I have friends that live right near the Wozniak school, the old Wozniak one house schoolroom, and they live right there. But that's been, you know, it's been fixed up, and it just kind of sits there. Most people don't drive that far out in Wozniak, even to search for oil. They didn't go that far, you know, to see the school itself. But it's out there. All right, now other things that we need to know about what's going on around us and who's doing what to us. Book ads go to the targeted audience. New technology lets campaigns find the supporters who'd be the most interested. So, yeah. The technology makes such customized advertising possible. It's called micro-targeting, which is similar to the techniques non-political advertisers use to serve up, for example, hotel ads online to people who have shopped for vacations recently. In the past few years, companies that collect data on how consumers behave both online and off, what charitable donations they make, have combined that vast store of information with voter registration records. So there you go. So let's be clear about something. What you do online is public. They think it's private, but it's not. Somewhere, somebody has access to it. You know, so you have to say to yourself, okay, what is it I'm doing online? And then the other thing is it can be used. It will be used. You know, what you do online will be used. It's interesting it's interesting how we are. And I've asked people about this. If they go to a website they've used before, and I've talked to you about this, like Overstock or Amazon or one of those, eBay, you go to one of those websites that you've used, and then it says, here's some suggestions for you. It doesn't seem that people take offense at that. But basically what they're doing is they're taking your buying information or your search information and saying, okay, maybe this is something you'd be interested in. And it comes from what you thought was a private search or purchase, which it isn't. Yet when somebody else all of a sudden comes up with the information, well, I don't know, I'll say this. Anything that I get in spam goes goodbye right immediately. So, you know, but they also are getting information from people just like anybody else. So, I don't know. I don't usually run across it that much because I don't allow myself to be involved in all that weirdness. Does that make sense? I err on the side of safety. So if you've sent me a message of some kind that came through under a name I didn't know, you know, like you often get in spam, you know, some foreign name, and they have a check for you for millions of dollars. If you have, in fact, tried to give me millions of dollars and I clicked you away, then I apologize. You have no idea how sorry I am. But what are you going to do, you know? All right. What else is going on? Tasco State has two more attacks up there of employees. I don't know what is happening up there. No details released in the scope of injuries in separate incidents last week. The attacks by patients occurred in separate incidents on Wednesday, according to ASH spokesman Craig Dacus. Dacus did not disclose the employees' nature or positions. Their injuries were there. They don't say anything. They just said something. Okay, so there you are. Okay. Sushi's coming to Atascadero. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk that you'd be in Atascadero, California, eating sushi? Come on, tell me the truth. All right, Japanese fusion restaurant will occupy former home of Big Bubba's Bad Barbecue. Crazy Sushi Fever is the name of it, so you got to know this has to be different. A Japanese fusion-style restaurant will open at 8050 El Camino Real in the space that was once home to Big Bubba's Bad Barbecue. Business partners Eric Ryu and J.J. Yee, I hope I'm saying those right, both formerly of Sumo Sushi in San Luis Obispo, decided to join forces and open their own restaurant. It's not going to be traditional fish with the same traditional sauces. We're putting a twist on traditional Japanese food. It's going to be, you know, like eyeballs with foam. $170,000 construction project is estimated to be completed by March. So sushi. They've got a lot of sushi on the Central Coast these days, you know. We didn't used to. We used to have so much. Now we got lots. Lots and lots and lots. Where is it? We just went to a sushi place that I wrote. Think, Bill. Think. Oh, there's a new sushi place out in the Marigold Center. Just opened up not too long ago. And they were, we went in there to look at the menu, and they were doing pretty darn good. So apparently, you know, we're eating. I can't say that I've never seen this before because maybe I have and I just didn't pay attention. But it's the kind of thing that draws your attention. And it was I saw a store was selling a salmon with the head on. So it's like the The skin's off it, but the head's on it. Does that make sense? It's been de-skinned, but not deboned. So you got to be careful with it. It's got the little guy looking at you. Yeah, his wife, that might make you nervous when you're eating. It's hard to say. Okay, everything's going on. Sushi. All right. Let's see what I have up here. I got a couple stories here I want to share with you. Dang. It's going to be this one will probably play when it should. Do you remember Senator John Ensign? Remember he had to leave in some disgrace and all that? Well, he's come up with a new field for himself, and it's kind of interesting, actually.
Jobs. Powered by affordable energy, generated by our most abundant domestically produced fuel, coal, the dominant source of our electricity. It is America's power.
Say, ha.
Yeah, stinky
breath. Yeah, it's got the gingivitis.
One minute he's examining a cat, the next he's bandaging up a dog. If this hard-working veterinarian looks familiar, he should.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ensign.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Dr. Ensign is former Nevada Senator John Ensign, who abruptly resigned 10 months ago amid a high-profile sex scandal.
This has been really, really good. First of all, to come back into a profession where you're humbled. You know, I used to own this practice. Now I'm working for somebody. That's sometimes a very healthy thing to have happen in life.
Now, instead of being hounded by reporters like yours truly...
Are you considering resigning?
He's caring for hounds of all kinds.
Oh, you got the quick expose. That has to hurt, Dexter.
Ensign was the only veterinarian in Congress.
You can tell it had a crushed pelvis there. See our x-ray equipment?
Yeah.
It's all digital now.
Until his resignation, he hadn't practiced for more than a decade.
Literally, I'm studying, you know, till 10, 11 o'clock every night and just trying to make sure that I get back up to a very high level in veterinary medicine.
Taking us on an exclusive tour of this animal hospital to see his life after politics, Ensign says he now realizes this is where his heart is.
I love being in the Senate. That was a wonderful experience, but I'm putting as much passion into this as I did that, and so I'm really enjoying it. And the other nice thing is being home every night, you know, seeing my wife and kids every day.
Ensign is still with his wife and says they're doing great, healing after an affair led to his political downfall. Last spring, the Senate Ethics Committee accused him of violating the law by trying to help his mistress's aggrieved husband find lobbying jobs. Ensign resigned 3 weeks before the report came out.
Did you leave in order to avoid testifying before the committee?
My family had been through enough. I didn't want to put him through more.
He's introspective, warning those still in politics not to let power get the best of them, like it did him.
Do everything that you possibly can to keep yourself grounded. And a big part of that is keep people around you who will basically slap you upside the head and tell you when you're doing wrong.
Did you not have that?
I thought I did. But after a while, you develop invisible barriers and to where they're actually intimidated to do that, even though I would say it all the time.
Ensign's political star was once so bright, this former member of the Republican leadership in the Senate had pondered a presidential run.
Now watching the presidential race, do you have any pangs saying, I could have been there, I could have been in the race with Governor Romney?
The chances for me would have been so slim anyway, but you know, you can't go back. You can't look back. I'm looking forward to veterinary medicine. I'm having a ball. Come on, Errol.
Dana Bash, CNN, Las Vegas, Nevada.
No, go ahead and run for president. A little more help would be useful. Just a better choice. We need choices. What was I reading today? Somebody said it was an old maxim that said, why is it we elect a president when we choose between two people and yet there's 50 Miss America contestants? Yeah, same. I agree with that. Rebel stronghold threatened. This is in Beirut, of course. Things are really bad in Homs, and they're run out of food, and it's just hideous. As we mentioned yesterday, this Mexican riot that killed 44 people was actually a jailbreak by a gang, and everybody that was killed was from a rival gang. The drug cartels are alive and well in Mexico. Not all of them are alive. Some are dead, but the ones that are alive are doing well. All right, now here's a thing that's a little bit disconcerting. Hepatitis deaths up, boomers at risk, and injection drug use, even one instance, increased chances of getting liver disease. Now, I'm not sure when, are they talking about any kind of drug? Like you get a flu shot, do you have a chance of getting liver disease? Do you have a chance of getting hepatitis? I'm confused by how they're wording this. Deaths attributed to hepatitis in the United States rose during the past decade to surpass those from HIV, posing a future public health burden as most people aren't aware they're infected. The baby boom generation, those born from 1946 to 1964, are the most at risk for the bloodborne virus, said John Ward, director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Injection drug use was frequent in this age group, and even one-time exposure of injection drug use carries a high risk. What do they mean by that? Do you mean to tell me that all the baby boomers were shooting up? God, I didn't know. I wasn't in line for that. And yet, here's where some baby boomers are face real serious threats of hepatitis C. And that is the we got those injections in the military, and they used what they called shotguns, and I've mentioned this before, but it was high pressure guns, you know, high pressure air, and it was so high pressure that it would actually pierce your skin, and actually the medication that they were giving you would go right to the bone and spread out, and so they just go bap and bap and bap, and that did it. The problem was, it bled. And I don't remember them wiping off those guns. They may have given it a quick swipe of the cloth, I'm not sure, but quite a few military people are coming down with hepatitis C, and they never did any kind of the drugs in their life. They just got their shots going in the service. And so, I know that's one source that's really a problem, you know, for people that are very unsuspecting. And the problem with hepatitis is that by the time you know you have it, it's too late to do anything about it. You know, you're screwed. So it's just a terrible thing. But it's very, very interesting what they're saying, because I assume what they're saying is they're saying recreational drug use. Am I right about that? Oh. All right, here's the other thing. I mean, I don't hope, but I hope it's not just people that just got a shot. All right, here's a wild and crazy story. And, of course, everybody now says, you have to prove it. Who cares? Just say, let them say that this happened. We don't care. Ruskies have revived a flower that died 32,000 years ago. They've done this special stuff. The fruit was stored by an Arctic ground squirrel in its burrow on the tundra of northern Siberia and lay permanently frozen until excavated by scientists a few years ago. This would be the oldest plant by far that's ever been grown from an ancient tissue. The present record is held by a date palm grown from seeds some 2,000 years ago that was recovered from the ancient fortress of Masada in Israel. Seeds in certain cells can last a long term under the right conditions, but many claims of extreme longevity have failed on closer examination. New report is by a team led by, it doesn't mean, can't pronounce his name, and as it gets worse, as they produce more of them. But the report is likely to provoke calls for more proof. It's beyond the bounds of what we'd expect, said Alastair Murdoch, an expert on seed viability at the University of Reading in England. The Russian article is headed by Buford Price of the UC Berkeley. Price, a physicist, chose two reviewers to help him, but neither he nor they were plant biologists. I know nothing about plants, he said. Anne Griswold, a spokeswoman for the National Academy of Sciences, said the paper had been seen by an editorial board member who is a plant biologist. Tragedy has now struck the Russian team. One of the guys, its leader, was hospitalized with an asthma attack and unable to respond to questions. They say it's plausible in principle. It's just resting on the fact of whether or not it was done. Now, these scientists, they're an uppity bunch. They really are. They really hate to be one up by anybody. That's what I mean by uppity. They hate to be one up by anybody. They don't like it. And I still think, I think this is happening. I really think this is happening, and that's because, you know, it was on National Geographic. They uncovered the woolly mammoth that was pretty much intact, and so they were speculating and then theorizing that in fact, if the right thing could be done with the DNA, then they could crossbreed it with a regular elephant, like an African elephant or Asian elephant, and come up with a mammoth again. I think that's still under wraps, but coming. I could be wrong. You could say, Billy, you're crazy, you know. If somebody told you there was a plant that was 2,000 years old that somebody all of a sudden made work, 32,000 years old, would you say, oh, sure. Okay, you wouldn't. I can see why the scientists are going, that's one old seed there, you know. Okay. I used to have I wonder if I could find the music to Masada. I had it years ago. It was a fascinating story and a great TV special. Other things going on in the news. State lawmaker upset over details revealed in a recent emergency case involving actress Demi Moore in seeking to restrict the sort of information that can be publicly disclosed in 9/11 tapes. Good idea. Eyes rolling back, foaming at the mouth, bleeding from a body part. That's nobody's business but the medical personnel and the patient. I think it has crossed the line, said Assemblywoman Norma Torres, who was a Los Angeles Police Department emergency dispatcher for more than 18 years before her election to the legislature in 2008. Current law already allows law enforcement agents to withhold personal details, but Torres' bill would prohibit them from releasing medical or personal identifying information contained in emergency calls. You might say, well, it's a public record. Da, 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 da. No, yeah, it is. It falls in line with, although this is a matter of privacy, it falls in line with, and I'll tell you what I was watching this news this morning, and an ad came on. I know it's you have to have the fair trade and all that kind of stuff, and I know that's what the FTC is all about when it comes to TV and radio and newspaper advertising. You know, you have to have free trade, and so everybody has a right to advertise their product. But I'm tired of a lot of the products, and Ducalax was on this morning. You know, it doesn't make you go; it just makes it easier. I don't need to hear this. I don't want to know about this. Right? There should be a little pamphlet that comes in the mail or something. And if you open it, fine, you read about it. I want to be part of the news. That's just me, though. So anyway, I've thought that 911 calls should be some of it should be kept more private than it is. So I'm kind of, I don't know if this will work, though, because people like gory details. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let me find out something here. All right. Now, here we have an interesting thing. A panel for the Southern Baptist Convention recommended Monday that its leadership endorse a new add-on description for the denomination, a Great Commission Baptist. Now, if you're not a Southern Baptist, which you're probably not if you're not in the South, then there's no such thing as a Northern Baptist, so they had to come up with a new category. So now, anybody else that doesn't want to be a Southern Baptist, they say that it now can be a Great Commission Baptist. Which it sounds, it has a little bit more panache than another kind of Baptist, you know, something like that. Well, I don't have to get too involved in these things. I got to tell you that truthfully. Okay. Some of the things that we got talking about today. Hey, this is interesting. This is interesting. You know me, I'm not a very partisan guy. I just I look at all these people and go, you know what? Somebody who with $1 billion is going to become the president of the United States, that's all I know. And I'm never going to be able to be president of the United States. Now you say anybody can be president? That's not true. Some pathway has to take you to the trail of $1 billion. You know, and if you miss that pathway, you know, no matter how hard you may try, no matter when you may get into politics, no matter what you may achieve, to become president of the United States, you're going to have this year $1 billion, and in 4 years, probably two, and on. So anyway, but they say voters move away from partisan labels. Filing has opened for the first election under California's top two primary system. As the name suggests, the two candidates generating the most votes in June 5th primary will advance to the November 6th general election, regardless of their party affiliation. In some parts of the state, that could mean two Democrats or two Republicans appear on the November ballot, perhaps even two independents. Implausible this year, yes, but the latest voter registration figures suggest that voters are getting fed up with the ideological extremes and partisan agendas that characterize California politics, all too often at the expense of completing public business in a timely manner. I would think that would go for nationally also. Wouldn't you think? I don't think so. All right. And we have news to do. CBS News. We're going to find out what's going on in the world, and we'll come back. And I got some more Zydeco, and I got some Fat Tuesday stuff, and we'll get to it.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. For just a moment today, the Dow hit 13,000 and then fell back. CBS's Alexis Christopherous.
When the Dow initially crossed 13,000 for the first time in nearly 4 years, traders on the floor of the stock exchange gave out a quick, loud cheer, and then it was right back to business. This is a psychologically important milestone, more for the small investor than for traders who do this day in and day out.
Hope faded that a $170 billion bailout deal in Europe for Greece might move the whole market, or on realization that Greece may be back to the well and the continent's debt crisis is far from over. The Dow closed up a dozen points at 12,966. The Nasdaq was down about 9 points. Oil prices, $106 a barrel today in New York, and a lot of people, including the Obama administration, are worried about what soaring gasoline prices will do to the economy. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
Our hope is that oil companies will work with us and work with the country to ensure that the recovery that we're now seeing is not jeopardized by energy costs that get out of control.
People already talk of staycations this summer, cutting back on spending because they have no choice. Rebels in Syria say the number of dead from the government's assault on the city of Homs is up to 60 today. The White House, meanwhile, grapples with what to do.
Publicly, the administration will only say it intends to keep up the pressure on the Assad regime, but
if we can't get Assad to yield to the pressure that we are all bringing to bear, we may have to consider additional measures.
Asked about arming the Syrian rebels, State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said it doesn't make sense to contribute to the further militarization of Syria. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
The Obama administration is apologizing over the burning of copies of the Quran in Afghanistan, which were among a pile of garbage being incinerated at a military base there.
I assure you, this was not intentional in any way. And I offer my sincere apology for any offense this may have caused.
Now that's General John Allen in Afghanistan. It caused offense. More than 2,000 angry Afghans, many of them firing guns in the air, protested outside that military base. Not guilty, the plea today from the former Los Angeles elementary school teacher, Mark Berndt, accused of sexual abuse, bondage-style photographs.
The prosecution says they will hand over to the defense about 200 photographs in time for the next court appearance on March 28th. Altogether, they say there are more than 600 photos.
KCBS-TV reporter Dave Lopez, bail remains $23 million. Luck has a way of coming and going. It was good luck when Mateen Johnson won $2,500 playing blackjack at a casino near Philadelphia. But cashing in turned his luck by revealing his identity to officials. He was wanted for drug offenses, and now he's in jail. This is CBS News.
An idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
This is Father John Kutzmore.
And this is TV news anchor Ernie Anastas.
Ernie, what's your idea of a good friend?
Well, I think a good friend is someone who listens when you need to talk. A good friend is one who offers encouragement and good advice when you need clarity and support. And a good friend leaves you free to find your own way.
It's like the Lord. He's a good friend to all who turn to him. He listens. He offers his grace to help you carry on with courage. If you'd like to hear more on this topic, visit my website, messengerofjoy.com. God bless you.
When a younger woman has a heart attack, it might feel differently. New research.
Kimberly Parazzoli called 911 when her constant jaw and back pain became too much to bear.
Never once did I think I was having a heart attack.
But she was. And researcher John Canto says she's an example of what he finds in a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Women have a different symptom presentation, especially amongst the younger women, and they are at the highest risk for death.
Possibly because their symptoms are so atypical of heart attack, they ignore them. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Police in Paris have been questioning Dominique Strauss-Kahn, former IMF chief, to see if he is connected to the prostitution ring that was serving a party in which he was scooped up along with a bunch of hookers. His lawyer argues Strauss-Kahn had no idea they were working girls, as he put it. I challenge you to distinguish a naked prostitute from any other naked woman. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to GEICO. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for complete and defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
CNN, Wednesday night, February 22nd at 8 Eastern, the Arizona Republican presidential debate.
We're going to have differences on the issues, and we need to talk about those differences.
The race heats up in the desert on CNN.
We came in second in a national poll in the Republican primary.
I'm certainly in it all the way to the convention. We'll see what happens.
But are the party divides wider than a canyon?
A competitive primary does not divide us, it prepares us.
CNN's John King moderates the Arizona Republican presidential debate. CNN, Wednesday night, February 22nd at 8 Eastern.
Thank you.
The MRI system everyone has been waiting for is now at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Patients love it. No more claustrophobia. No more masks over your face. No more tight spaces. And imaging speed to get you in and out, faster than any other magnet made. Plus, doctors love its unsurpassed image quality. The Siemens Skyra produces images doctors only dreamed of before. When you need your next MRI, ask for the new wide-open, ultra-high-field Siemens Skyra at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Even if you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Best image quality, the greatest patient comfort, and the lowest possible price. Why should you go anywhere else? When you need an MRI, call San Luis Diagnostic Center. 542-9700. That's 542-9700 to schedule your exam on the most modern equipment available.
This portion of the Clark Howard Show is brought to you by Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
Okay.
Welcome to Hotels.com. If you're looking for a place to get together, you came to the right place. Because here at Hotels.com, we're only about hotels. Yeah. Finding you the perfect place is all we do. Welcome to Hotels.com.
Rick, you wrote this opinion piece. I encourage everyone to write it. Your headline is the insanity hype caused by race? So here's the why. Why do you think these gaffes, these slurs, are happening in this particular story?
Well, I think because Jeremy is a one-of-a-kind athlete. We've never had a Chinese-American perform at this type of level, so he's going to draw a lot of attention, and not just because of his talent. He's an Asian-American who's a real pioneer here. And because of that, that's why all these comments have been coming out.
Now, back to this ESPN gaffe. The headline writer told the New York Daily News it wasn't intended. He used the phrase many times before. That said, do you think that there's a double standard when it comes to racial slurs? I mean, we talked about this, you know, this morning. I mean, no editor ever would use, say, the N-word in a headline. Never.
Right. As that Saturday Night Live skit showed, there is a bit of a double standard. You can make fun of Asian Americans, but you can't make fun of Black Americans. And I think part of it is that, unfortunately, there's still a stereotype that Asian Americans are very passive and that they won't retaliate. They'll bite their tongue and not say anything and just kind of suffer through it. While the African American community has enough strength and enough political clout, enough power to retaliate. And that's something I think the Asian Americans in this country lack. They don't have one spokesperson who can take a stand like a Jesse Jackson or even an Al Sharpton, someone who can say, hey, this is wrong. This is not the way we should be spoken of.
Do you think the storyline surrounding Jeremy Lin will help at least slow that?
I think so. You know, the whole incident with the ESPN headline becomes, I guess, what you can call a teachable moment. The person who wrote the headline said he was not aware that this was offensive. Maybe, unfortunately, he was fired because of this, but it provides a chance for the media to be educated about what is offensive. Growing up as a Chinese American, the word, the C word, so you might say, I've heard it, and it's probably the most hurtful word you can use towards a Chinese American, similar to how the N word is used towards African Americans.
We played the sound from Jeremy Lin after what happened over the weekend on the headline with ESPN, and he said, "I don't care, it's fine, no big deal." Do you wish he'd taken a stronger stance and said, "No, this isn't okay, and here's why"?
No, I think he's taken the higher road.
Yeah.
You know, as you mentioned, the writer has apologized. He's letting it go. I think Jeremy did the right thing. I think ESPN took the appropriate action in firing the headline writer and suspending the sportscaster who used that term as well. So I think Jeremy's doing the right thing in letting it go.
Bottom line, biggest takeaway from the Lin sanity, sir?
Again, it's just a source of pride for the, not just Asian Americans, but Asians across the world, and even non-Asians, to see an underdog do so well when given the opportunity that with hard work, just about anything is possible.
There you go. I mean, the fun story of this guy to me isn't that he's Asian. The fun part of his story is that he was a bench warmer, you know, and he sat there and watched the game, you know, and then finally the coach said, "Well, go see what you can do." And he did. I probably don't get it. All right, that's all right. You're with Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYMS, your news station. And this may remind you, we have a warrior coming home, and our welcome home hero is for a Army guy coming in from Afghanistan. He's from Paso Robles, the hometown welcome is this afternoon between 4:45 and 5:00. Be at the airport. The flight's supposed to be in right around 5:30, but sometimes they get there early, so get ready to go. You can bring your own flag, banner, whatever you want, or they'll have them provided for you. You get to sign a card and everything for the person, and everybody cheers and yells and all that kind of stuff, and it's just cool. It's just cool. Yeah, I realize, you know, will they have a ticker tape parade if we get out of that? I don't think so.
We don't have parades anymore.
Baseball people get parades. Basketball people get parades. Football people get parades. Soldiers don't get parades.
Hey, that's the way that works. Okay, let's see what else is going on. Let's see what else is happening. And why.
Oh, Lord. All right, other things that are going on. This is one of the things that people have been talking about now for some time, and that is the fact that, you know, you go to college, and then you say to yourself, "Oh, okay, how am I ever going to pay it off?" College yields a degree and debt. Study finds that 2/3 of 2011 graduates from four-year institutions left with an average $34,000 in debt, delaying major purchases. And that's that's an average. That's an average. It's just amazing, you know, and these kids, people have to pay off. I mean, I've encountered people in the VA system paying off student loans, and they're old people. They're middle-aged, I think. It's like, okay. Well, here, guess what happened in China? So, you know, a lot of McDonald's and some of these other people are in China already, but In-N-Out Burger isn't. However, this Chinese decided, why wait? And so they call it Caliburger. They call this place Caliburger in Shanghai, and it's laid out identically to an In-N-Out Burger, same checkered floor and the same everything in the whole wide world. And so, anyway, In-N-Out Burger is none too happy about that. California company, which has sites, of course, here in Tascadero, Rio Grande, and Santa Maria, doesn't operate any restaurants in China, so its owners were miffed to see a doppelganger called Caliburger leaving claim to its signature burger touting animal-style fries topped with cheese, special sauce and onions, and planning to serve shakes and red and yellow palm tree things. And I had the double-double. So anyway, so they asked them to quit. I don't know. What are they going to do? Paint the floor? I don't know. I didn't really realize that they had animal-style fries. I remember McDonald's stopped doing that. Which I always thought was pretty stupid. I always thought, you know what? McDonald's, offer people a choice. The healthy fries or the nasty ones that taste good? You know. We don't have to talk about oil prices jumping, but as Iran is shunning the UK and France, as we talked about yesterday, they were going to. They've officially announced they have. That happened overnight.
So okay. So, but luckily they don't depend on a lot of the oil. But here's, you know, here's the thing that's going on right now, and you know that it's going to happen because everything's so shaky in the Middle East right now, and especially with Iran, and what the possibilities are of a bad outcome of getting involved with Iran. This is what's happened to us before, and we sometimes fail to realize it. You have oil speculators. You have people that say, okay, I'm buying oil stocks. I'm going to invest in oil futures. I'm going to raise the price of oil basically by demand. And so it does. And then what happens is the price of oil goes up. And so some of it has nothing to do with how much we're getting. It doesn't have anything to do with how much is being pumped out of the earth. It doesn't have to do with how much is being refined. It has to do with how much demand there is for stocks. Other than that, we're in good shape. After slow sales, men explore the sartorial frontier of accessories, whatever that means. But anyway, so the men are buying weird stuff. Chains, you know, bling items, rings, hats, umbrellas, ties. Is a tie going? Let me see. No, dress shirts. Let me see what else. Bags, hats, umbrellas, even fur stoles. I'm not buying any of that. All right. So they say that's good news. The bracelet is perhaps the most striking example of the accessory craze. A London-based jewelry designer, whose name I can't pronounce, says sales of its men's bracelets rose 30% in 2011. On a global basis, we're known as a cufflink brand, but in the past year, our sales have shifted in a way. We're selling now more bracelets than we are selling cufflinks. How many people are still using cufflinks, bro? When he saw the sales start to tick up, the guy said he began pushing U.S. retailers to increase their inventories. Saks, after testing his men's bracelets at a few locations, is now carrying them more broadly. So in case you need a bracelet, I wear a rubber Support Our Veterans bracelet from time to time, and then I wear my other Vietnam bracelet. Yeah, you got to show your colors. So that's it right there. What are I would imagine that a lot of, if you can afford a fur stole, I would imagine that you would have a bracelet that says, I'm rich. Wouldn't you? That's what I'd have. All right, let's see what some of the letters are in today's paper. Let's see what else is going on, too. That was racist relocation. Bill Moore's reminder about the executive order that led to Japanese internment in 1942 struck home. Like many of those interned, my grandparents were immigrants coming here from Austria about the same time their countrymen, Adolf Hitler, emigrated to Germany. Yet when the United States was fighting Hitler's Germany, my grandparents were not relocated and their property was not seized, as was that of Moore's father's Japanese golf buddy and tens of thousands of others. 1,200 to 1,000 Japanese were relocated. In contrast, only about 5,000 Germans or persons of German descent were interred. And the interesting thing about that is to realize, you know, I mean, if I look at my own family, you know, I mean, my family is German. German. My grandparents. All right, and then let's once again, we're reminding again, I don't understand how you can write a letter and mention the fact that, you know, the biggest number of bags I use, this was a letter the other day, that go to waste are the Tribune bags I get, you know, the bags of Tribune, which is interesting because whoever's doing my newspaper now has said, ah, the heck with the bags, I'm just putting a rubber band around it and throwing out the window, kind of. Actually, they're sort of dropping out the window from the middle of the street. Anyway. So the interesting thing is, so the Trib bags are recyclable bags. So here's what somebody had to say. Dominic said this. In reply to the letter of February 18th regarding the plastic wrappers of the newspaper, I'd like to suggest a few uses for the bags. First, the plastic material is classified as number 4 and recyclable. Collect them for a few days and deposit them in the grocery bins for the grocery stores to recycle them. Second, use them to pick up smaller pet poopies. I have never had one tear on me. Try it on a big pet poo. Who knows? Third, use them for a small, smelly kitchen waste, thereby saving a bigger trash bag like a fish head or something. And finally, I like to read a dry newspaper and have a soggy mess from the rain or sprinklers. So the guy that's doing my rubber band thing, I'm concerned about, I got to tell you that. Let's get on the phone and say hello to somebody today and say hello to.
Hey, how's it going, Billy Boy?
I'm Mike from Atascadero. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm hanging in. How about yourself?
I am doing the best I can with what I've got.
Oh, that's a pity.
No, actually, it's a sign of great success.
Yeah, I've seen what you got. That's a sad situation.
All right, now that we're done pounding on each other, what else is going on, Mikey?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the plastic bag thing, and I was thinking that you know, when you go just walk through a store, I mean, there are literally hundreds of items that are in plastic bags. And putting all of them into a plastic bag afterwards seems the least of the situation.
But here's the thing, and I don't know how it all works, so I can't tell you. So let's say you go and buy a bag of M&Ms. It's in a plastic bag. Is that bag biodegradable or no more biodegradable than a regular shopping bag?
I wouldn't think it's any more biodegradable than a regular shopping bag. Then you go from there and you go get you some bread, and that's in a plastic bag, and you get you some carrots, and they're in a plastic bag, and you get you some meat, and that's in a plastic bag, and you get, you know, let's just keep going and going and going. I mean, it's ridiculous how many things are in a plastic bag, and they're worried about, yeah, but you're taking it out in a plastic bag, too.
And your Twinkies are in a plastic wrapper, I might add.
That's true.
So.
And so are your Yo-Hos.
When, you know, when they were sitting around brainstorming snack food, you know, and somebody came with a name, Yo-Ho, who was that? And what?
They figured that sailors would go for them.
And what board of directors, what board of directors agreed? Yes,
yeah,
let's
really.
Let's call our new product Yo-Hos.
And then when you were talking about Lynn, the basketball player, I think that the thing that impressed me the most is he's a graduate from Harvard.
That's impressing a lot of people the most. But Harvard's falling all over themselves because they got a professional basketball player that's good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the first basketball player that I can think of that actually can count up the numbers that he gets every month in his paycheck.
Well, you know, the guy that was the writer for ESPN, what an idiot. I mean, you know, it's so obviously racist. And then for the guy to say, here's what bothers me, not so much that he did it. Let's say he says, okay, this may cost me my job, but I'm gonna do this thing and say a chink in the armor. Okay, fine, but when you lose your job, then don't start going, well, I didn't really mean anything. Give me a break. That's
yeah,
this is the expression you'd pick.
That read it on the teleprompter too and said, "Well, I just read, but, you know, I'm just a talking head. I don't make any sense."
Well, you know, so. I would agree more with him saying, "You know what? I don't, you know, I just came across a teleprompter and I don't see it before I read it." So, and that's possible, you know. But
yeah.
The guy that wrote it, I mean, don't start telling me I didn't mean it. There's a million expressions you can use for anything, and why you would pick that one for that particular discussion makes absolutely no sense at all.
Well, the thing is that he just grabbed something and ran with it, and then afterwards said, boy, that was stupid. You know? I mean, that's basically where it goes from.
I don't know what he thought people's reaction would be to such a thing.
Well, I don't think that he was even looking at it at the time. I think that he just went with the, you know, that this was their shining white knight or a knight in white armor.
Wait a minute.
Basically save the New York Knicks, which if you look at their record since he started playing, you'd have to say that he definitely was their shining knight in white armor, you know.
Leave me alone with that. Mike, I'm not buying that in a million years. The guy, when he wrote a chink in the armor, knew exactly what he was writing. And if he didn't,
I think so too. If he didn't, he shouldn't be working for ESPN anyway.
Right,
but 2 seconds afterwards, you know what? Boy, everybody's going to be all over my butt for that. I think anybody with common sense would have realized that.
You would think. One would imagine.
But I'm just thinking that he went for a cheap out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, was it racist? Yes. Was it clever? Yes. Was it acceptable? No. So there you go. All right. That kind of adds up. You add up with a zero.
Personified. But the fact is, It has to go through a couple of people before it goes on that teleprompter. Who was, you know, how many stupids did they go for?
I don't know. And that's a good, no, you have a good point. I have no idea. I mean, I really don't know what it goes through to before somebody actually reads it.
We're looking at ESPN. It's not like that they've only got one monkey up there writing things, you know, of stupidity. I mean, there's a long line of guys that are doing stuff there. So the fact that only one head rolled and another one was laid off for 30 days is the only real surprise. And the fact that it got on the teleprompter, to me, is a big surprise. I mean, that's like a speechwriter for the president or something, you know. It goes through several sources before it actually hits the air.
Well, somewhere along the line, they fumbled the ball.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, anybody would be an idiot to write something like that. You know, and then there was another idiot that let it go out. And another one that said it on the teleprompter. So
they stepped on the line, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. Through everything, the person who's been most gracious about everything has been Lynn.
Oh, yeah, no question.
You know, I mean, he has reacted with the most intelligence and the most class of anybody.
Well, he is the most intelligent of all of us. That's why.
Yeah, he's a Harvard graduate, so
right.
He should have a little bit of class,
that's
right?
Yeah, well, the rest of us are just...
And he's shown it.
Yeah, the rest of us are just, you know, morons out there.
Basically, with what's going on, yeah.
Unbelievable, Mikey. Unbelievable. How's everything with you? You've had Mike Smar, outdoor sign painter, so therefore this has been an exceptionally good year for you weather-wise. Do you have any business, or how's it going?
The unfortunate thing is that we're still painting a lot of signs that say going out of business and closing store and things along that line. And I think the unemployment rate here in our little area, unfortunately, shows it.
Yeah, that's too bad. That really is too bad. And you see it.
Yep.
Unbelievable, sir. Well, thank you very much for calling in. And make sure you wear your SPF stuff there so you don't get a burn.
You got it, Billy Boy.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you real soon.
All right, bye.
For 125 years, Mercedes-Benz has produced the world's most advanced automobiles, and Star Automotive is dedicated to maintaining those vehicles for many years to come. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. I wish to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles the last 5 years. The Star Automotive Independent Mercedes-Benz Service Center can be found in SLO at the corner of Broad and Francis, on the web at starautomotive.com, or by calling 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Va jouer la musique qui m'appelle. Ferry. Norfolk Southern. One line. Infinite possibilities.
Hi, I'm First Lady Michelle Obama, and I'm here to answer your iReporter questions.
Hi, Mrs. Obama. We're out for our evening walk.
And we were wondering, what's your favorite way of staying fit and healthy?
I try to find things that I enjoy doing, and I would recommend that to everyone. Find the thing that is the most fun for you. For me, you know, I work out every day at the gym, but I try to get some cardio in. I try to do some weights, some plyometrics, but not everybody enjoys the gym. Not everybody enjoys being on the treadmill. So people don't have to make it complicated. Turning on the radio and dancing is a lot of fun. That's also something that I do with my girls. We dance around a lot.
Hi, Mrs. Obama. My favorite healthy snack is goldfish. What is the President Obama's favorite snack?
The President, oh, one of his favorite snacks is guacamole and nacho chips. He's a weakness for those. I mean, if he's watching a game, he can eat a whole bowl of guacamole and nachos. So that's, I think, one of his favorite snacks. But thanks for asking, and keep eating your vegetables.
Ma'am, I'm Shari from Sri Lanka. I was wondering if your daughters Mali and Sasha wanted to have fast food like a huge burger and french fries and fried chicken. Would you allow that for them, or have they got to always have healthy foods?
Malia and Sasha are like every kid in America. If they could eat burger, fries, pie, cake, ice cream every single day, they would, because that stuff tastes really good. I'd eat it too if I could. But what we try to practice and what I try to teach our girls is balance. But it takes a lot of determination, a lot of willpower. We have very clear expectations in our house, and sometimes no has to mean no.
I'm Mohammed from Kurdistan region, north of Iraq. My question is, how do you manage to be the first lady in the United States and a mother for your children and a wife for a husband all at once? Thanks.
You know, it's a balancing act, trying to be first lady, a mom, a wife, a daughter. But I don't think that my balancing is any different from anyone else's out there. But I think the key, first and foremost, is making sure that I'm healthy. Because I found that if I'm at my best shape, if I'm feeling good, if I'm in good spirits, then everything else I do, from being First Lady to being Malia and Sasha's mom, I do it with a level of energy and authenticity that often works.
What do you consider to be the best experience or the best opportunity that you've had since being the First Lady of the United States?
Ooh, Nicole, that's a really tough question. The best experience opportunity that I've had, there have been so many, it's really hard to pick just one. We've gotten to travel, to go to parts of the world that I would have never dreamed to go to. One of the things I enjoy the most is really just traveling around our country, going into communities and into schools, into churches, and really hearing from people and what's going on in their lives. I could go on, but I've got a great job, and I am serving a great country.
You know what? I want to play that. I want to find out what the president's favorite snack was. So I just wondered what it was. Okay. And it's fattening, too, by the way, just to let you know. You wouldn't know to look at the man, but, you know, guacamole, guac and chips, you know, that's not really on the top of the health food chain there. Okay, guac and chips. All right. That's what the press. And can you imagine being, let's say that every now and then the girls get a Domino pizza or something, you know, can you imagine being the delivery guy at the White House, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they've got some machine guns, you know, they got to search you, they got to search the pizza pie, they got to, by the time the president gets it anymore, pizza pie. It's been disassembled. Michelle Obama's got to go in the kitchen, put it back together. All right, so you say, Bill, that was an interesting thing you played there, kind of different, wasn't it? Yeah, okay, no.
I really want to tell you about this because, and I'm going to read some of this because it's very, very fascinating. These numbers are like numbers you just, your brain just never heard these numbers before, I don't think. And then, and this is if you don't get the newspaper, this is John Lindsay's column. And if you do get it, maybe you didn't read it. But here's some stuff that are like absolutely amazing. Raindrops are tiny, typically less than 5 millimeters in diameter, and come in a lot of different sizes and shapes, but collectively they can deliver a huge amount of water. As they fall from the sky, their journey has only begun. Typically, as they rush through the air, they often flatten into a saucer shape and later contoured like an upside-down bowl before bursting into smaller droplets. The storm produces just 1 inch of rain over 1 square mile. That adds up to 17.4 million gallons of water. The same inch of rain delivered over the entire county of San Luis Obispo would total about 63 billion gallons. Now, consider the storm that occurred on March 9th. And 10th of 1995, which produced recorded 24-hour rainfall totals ranging from 3.25 inches in Pismo Beach to 11.6 inches in Santa Margarita. That's a lot of water. So where does all this water go? Now, heavier amounts of rain will soak in the ground, where it is absorbed by plants and then transported back in the atmosphere. An amazing amount of water transpires from the leaves of plants. A single large oak tree in our county can move 100 gallons or more of water into the air in just one day during the summer. An acre of corn gives off about 3,000 to 4,000 gallons of water each day.
Wow. Yeah. And some of it actually gets to the rivers and the lakes and streams and reservoirs. But, man, that's amazing.
One tree, 100 gallons of water, it gives off. And John Lindsay, a Navy man, I suppose you know. Anchors away, dude. All right, now here's a new thing that's going on. You know, the sea otters were dying from cat poop. You know, that was from the rain that he was talking about being washed to the cat poops are being washed into the ocean, and then the sea lions just hang around them. That's no good. It's kind of like surfing off the Pismo Pier. There's things you don't want to be hanging around. Anyway, so the down that they're saying is great white sharks are chomping on these little guys. They found them tasty, I suppose, and annoying like a lot of people find them, eating all the mollusks and whatnot. I know they're cute. They're ocean gophers is what they are. Anyway, that's really interesting. Sometimes they have shark teeth embedded in their bodies. Others have scratch patterns on bones that match the serrated edges of white shark teeth. And, of course, some have a half-moon pattern, which is typical of when a shark chomps on your fin. All right, other things that are going on. Other things that are going on in the world today. I thought that was interesting. I thought this was strange facts of life right there that I thought I'd share with you right there. All right. Other things that go, and they talk about the Mardi Gras thing. They're talking about this thing about the environmental hangover. A new recycling project aims to reuse thousands of strands of beads discarded by Mardi Gras revelers after the celebrations are over. I mean, they're showing them on, you know, one of those main drags, picking them up with a bucket loader. The beads were flying all around, then some pool in the street, some caught by revelers and sharers for a moment, most of them destined in all likelihood for the landfill. It was Mardi Gras 2011, and Kirk and Holly Grove were stationed in their family's traditional viewing spot downtown, where they had watched so many parades roll by in the past years. This time, they kept thinking what a waste it was. So anyway, they talked about it. There was a movement afoot to say, okay, let's, after we've done all the tatas and whatnot with the beads, let's recycle these guys or something, because it's just amazing how much is involved. Traditional recycling centers cannot process beads. However, a few nonprofits in recent years have refined programs to collect, bundle, and resell them. And this year, an unprecedented crop of initiatives has sprung up to help feed the recycled bead market, with most of the ideas as idiosyncratic as the city itself. The Acre of Greater New Orleans, a nonprofit that employs its mentally challenged clients in a bead recycling program, introduced a trailer this season that will bring in the, up the rear of the Sun Parades, encourage revelers to throw back their trinkets they just caught, with a slogan well known to the South Louisiana fishermen, catch and release. Catch and release. Give them back to us. That's a smart idea to recycle the beads. So that's I'm for that program. All right, now. Here's the thing. We talk about plastic bags, Mike brought up the whole issue of the plastic throughout the store, and you know what's the point of sale when you have
And you have all this other plastic. If I had to guess, here's the issue. Here's where I think it started. It's not just that there were plastic bags in the ocean. That by itself was not the issue. The issue is that things were getting caught in the handles of the plastic bags. Animals were getting caught in the and getting stuff wrapped around their antlers and wherever else. This is what creates the drama of the plastic bag. Not that this ocean, this huge thing that's twice the size of Texas out in the Pacific Ocean, that's all plasticky particles, not that that's not bad. It's bad. But I think that the reason it came down to the shopping bag, plastic bag, was because of marine life and whatnot, getting it caught around their necks. There's a big, huge thing underway, too, about six-pack thingies that please recycle them instead of throwing them in the ocean when you're done. I'm not even near an ocean, really. But anyway, I'm drinking beer, but that's the thing. So now here's the other thing, too. So now this is an amazing story in the paper over the weekend. Plastic from plants, scientists may have found a way. Plastic is among the eco-conscious is terrible, but what if manufacturers could stop making so much of it from oil and start making it from plants? In a study in the journal Science, researchers in the Netherlands say they have developed a class of iron catalysts that help turn plant material, such as fast-growing trees and certain grasses, into chemical building blocks used to make plastic products, drugs, and even cosmetics. Plastic typically is made from a crude oil derivative and therefore depends on Earth's finite oil supplies, but plant material can also yield plastics if it is burned, producing a mixture of hydrogen and carbon monoxide, known as synthesis gas, in the presence of a catalyst, typically iron-based. The so-called syngas yields lower olefins, which form plastic when they're chemically strung together. But today's catalysts aren't very effective and produce a lot of methane as a byproduct, like myself. So anyway, so that's the thing right there. So they're working on it. They're saying, you know, maybe we can get this accomplished. The plastic industry is huge. I'm sure there's going to be a hell and damnation raised about that. Right? You can't be doing that. That's healthy. That could be good for us. Okay, yeah, I have another story I wanted to tell you. Here's the thing. Well, that's the whole thing in Syria. It's terrible. Let's do this thing we do sometimes and say, okay, let's check and see what the headlines are. It says, inside Syria, people will starve to death. High court to take up affirmative action. This is in schools. Schools. Teacher enters play in the bondage case. A 4.0 earthquake felt in 13 states. Official explains the burning of the Korans over in seas. It was on a base, and they just, you know. Sometimes you have to just try a little bit harder. You know, you say to yourself, well, you know, they're the bad guys, you know. You have a billion Muslims we don't want to torque off. Do you understand? You can take groups of them and have fights and wars and battles and all that, and that works. But if you get 1 billion Muslims mad at you have a problem. Other things. Let me see if this will play. Teen lifts car to save his grandfather? How big's the kid? How big's the car? How big's the grandpa? So if I can get this puppy to pup up. There we go. Let's see if we can get this guy to play. Because that's, like, way weird. Now, there may be a commercial in the beginning. I'm not sure. We'll see when it loads. Ad first.
What is this, Shorty?
Tissue, sir? I'm sick.
You don't cough. You don't show defeat.
Give me your war face!
Halls, a pep talk in every drop.
Austin and his grandfather were working on this 1991 Buick Century. They'd worked on cars before. It was nothing new. But something went terribly wrong when suddenly Austin's grandfather found himself pinned underneath the car.
I was just so scared, I didn't know what to do.
It was Saturday morning.
These center blocks right here were up parallel, and the top end was up higher.
Austin Smith and his grandfather, Papa Ernie, were at home trying to fix the brakes on this old clunker. The 91 Buick was propped up on cinder blocks, and Papa Ernie was underneath.
I was inside, just like this, and you're pumping the brakes like this, and I felt it rock just slightly.
The 15-year-old got out. Moments later, the car collapsed.
All I could think of was just getting the car off of him. And that's what I did.
The vehicle weighs over 2,000 pounds. Austin lifted the front end high enough for his 74-year-old grandfather to escape. How'd he do it? Even he doesn't know.
I have no clue. Probably out of adrenaline. I mean, I couldn't do it right now.
Thank God he was here because just been me and his grandmother, you know, it would have been over.
He suffered a serious cut on his face, fractured ribs, and eye socket. Both have learned sometimes you just don't know what you're capable of doing until there's no other choice but to do it.
We're very close, and I think it'll definitely make us closer.
He's a wonderful young man, you know, that's all I say.
As you can imagine, Papa Ernie has been getting a lot of love from his grandchildren. Although his injuries are pretty serious, doctors expect him to make a full recovery.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I'd be too happy. Don't worry. Be happy. So listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. But don't worry. Happy, be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Be happy. Be happy. Well, it's Fat Tuesday. Why not? Have a great Fat Tuesday. We'll get together again tomorrow, Wednesday at noon. Until then, my other trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling and